Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You heard the call on 98.7 ESPN. The Rangers won 4-3 in overtime to eliminate the Penguins. And Rick DiPietro is with us now. Rick, the bread man. What's going on, Rick? The bread man did it.
Rick, are you allowed to be positive about the Rangers? Is that
I'll be positive.
Okay, I just want to make sure we clarify beforehand.
Well, I hate both of those teams.
Yes.
I despise both of those teams.
Understood.
I tried to explain to my son last night because he actually sat down and watched the game with me. He said, "Who are you rooting for, Dad?" I said, "Neither." He said, "What?" I said, "I hope they both lose, but they can't."
That's how it is in New York, man. If you're an Islander, if you're you root against the Rangers, Mets root against the Yankees, vice versa. That's how it goes. Jets and Giants, same thing.
So, Rick, I got to tell you, some of my friends are diehard hockey fans, and we've been having these debates over the last, especially this weekend. Yo, like, game sevens in basketball is like,
garbage.
Game sevens in hockey, though? I'm like, whoa, what is going on? I mean, it was just, give me your description of what last night was, how it felt overall.
Well, it's been incredible, right? I mean, so you had the NBA you just brought up. Two awful, awful game sevens. I don't even know what Phoenix was doing. And then you have, NHL. You got the Rangers go to OT, and then you have Dallas, Calgary goes to OT. But, I mean, I was supposed to go to the game last night with the guys from the show. Couldn't. Had some stuff come up at the house. But you could just feel the intensity coming through the TV, man. It was just – place was crazy. It was packed with – I mean, there was Giants there, Mets. I mean, Zach Wilson. Everyone was there.
Hold up, Rick. Stuff coming up at the house, is that about not wanting to risk being there to see the Rangers come back down 3-1 in a series and win it?
No, a little bit. Not going to lie, a little bit. I was going to be there as Dave Rothenberg's, emotional support co-host.
Too much on the line for you emotionally, though, right? They can't come back down 3-1 and get it done. And then they're down in the game in games 5 and 6, and they kept coming back. That's really what it was, wasn't it? You couldn't bear to see them come back again.
If I'm being honest, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. You're absolutely right. Yeah. That would have been a lot for me to handle.
Yeah.
But, Rick, the Rangers were that young team that you kind of felt like they had the potential, but you weren't sure that they would be able to have the maturity to get themselves over that hump. What did you learn about them yesterday?
Well, you're right. I don't think a lot of people expected them to have the regular season that they had. They overachieved. And then jumping into this series, especially the way that they looked in Pittsburgh in those first two games. I mean, you're talking about Igor Shesterkin going to win the Vezina as the best goalie. He's nominated for MVP. To have him look the way, have the team look the way they looked in Pittsburgh was concerning. But, you have, a bunch of young guys getting their first kind of taste of this. And you got a good group of veteran guys to help lead them. But, I mean, the fact that you go into game 5 at home, must win, you're down 2-0 early, you find a way, battle back, which the Rangers have done all season long, you win that one. Then game 6, same thing, battle back, win that one. And then last night, Igor played out of his mind. He gave him a chance, which is what great goalies do. Mika buries the game-tying goal. And then you could tell in OT, the fact that the Rangers took that time out and pretty much said, "Hey, listen, fellas, like, we went through this in game 1. We don't want to have another repeat of the 3 overtime deal. We have a power play right now. Let's finish it. You guys will be out here for all 2 minutes. We'll rest you up, and let's make this one count." And that's exactly what they did.
Rick, Max loved Panarin, the bread man. Not Panera, but Panarin. Difference.
I like Panera, though, too.
He used to have a Panera bread, yeah.
How big was it for him in OT to get it, to get that win?
Oh, it was huge because he was – I mean, he has not had a great series. He was not having a great game last night, and he would tell you that. He was not great. Ice was bad. He was not playing well. So for him to step up in that moment and score that goal, I mean, I think moving forward, that's only going to free him up even more. But for them, those last couple games, you had, Mika Zibanejad finally stepped up. He was a beast in game 6. And then last night you had Mika, Kreider had one. And then Panarin had the game winner. So that's all positive stuff here moving forward to the next round.
Rick, Penguin fans are fuming over the NHL's lost helmet rule that impacted Game 7 last night. I'm curious, hear this from Sidney Crosby and Mike Sullivan.
Terrible rule ends up probably being the difference in the game.
He has to come off by rule, by the rule.
How do you feel about that rule?
I think it stinks. He has to come off. His helmet got pulled off intentionally, but that's the rule.
So what did you make of that excuse making?
Well, listen, it's on both sides, too, because I hear from Rangers fans, too. Lassiter was a high stick last night, like, so that everyone has excuses. Bottom line for me is I don't think that Lafreniere purposely ripped his helmet off. I think they were wrestling behind the net. He had him in a headlock. Helmet pops off. He doesn't have to skate off the ice. He can actually go get his helmet and try to put it back on. The risk you run with that is if my chin strap's still buckled up, I'm trying to get my helmet off, I'm out of the play. He still got back to the bench. Letang came on the ice.
Exactly.
But they didn't sort it out. And then the Rangers make a quick play in front, and Mika makes a perfect shot. But there's a bunch of different reasons why this series turned out the way it turned out. But the Pittsburgh had three chances to end the series, and they didn't.
I want to get back into the Laffy play, though, because it seems to me, Rick, like in boxing, if you're a veteran and you're slick enough to get away with a rule, you bend it, right? Like in a way that, yeah, he did it on purpose, but you can't prove it. It wasn't one of those plays like they're wrestling around. It didn't look like he gave him a little extra to get the helmet off.
I think he was probably trying to rip his head off because they were wrestling. I don't know. I mean, it's a young player in his first postseason experience. I don't think his mindset was, hey, you know, I know if I rip his helmet off that he doesn't really know the rules, so he's going to have to skate off the ice. Like, I don't know if that was really the intent, but whatever it takes in that moment. I mean, you're down 3-2, so whatever it ends up being. I mean, I would point to him. For Rangers fans, even if they had lost this series, as one of the real bright spots for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think he could have picked the helmet up and put it back on, but that's just me. How far can this team go, Rick?
Wow. If they defend the way that they defended in this series, I have a hard time believing that they get past Carolina. The X factor for them, obviously, is having Igor Shesterkin in net. I don't know what's going on with Carolina's goalie situation. They have Antti Raanta in net, who's the backup. Freddie Anderson he missed the whole first series with an injury. So we'll see if he comes back. But the Rangers haven't had much success this regular season with Carolina. Carolina's a really good team. But, I mean, you saw it in the Dallas-Calgary series. Jake Oettinger played out of his mind. And Calgary was a much better team, but that series went 7. So, I mean, if Igor plays great, big boys step up for the Rangers. I mean, yeah, they have a chance.
Rick, real quick, who you got winning the cup?
I actually picked Calgary to win the cup.
Mm.
Yeah.
Staying alive, okay.
Rick DiPietro.
Staying alive, barely.
Barely.
Ladies and gentlemen, ESPN, not only ESPN hockey analyst, but the co-host of the sensational DiPietro and Rothenberg on ESPN 98.7. Thanks, Rick.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Can you assure the people of Philadelphia and us here that the head coach will be back next year?
Yes.
You look at this series, I don't really know how many buttons Doc Rivers could have realistically pushed that would have made this go differently.
He's a great coach. I love working with him. I feel like I'm learning from him. You know, I think Elton and I and him make a great team.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking who the best player left in the playoffs is. We're asking you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Luka Doncic? Is it Steph Curry? Is it Jason Tatum? Is it possibly someone else? Can't imagine who. But maybe you got a choice. All right, look. Guys, this Sixers news that Doc, according to Daryl Morey, will be back. I got to tell you something. If I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, I'm really happy about that for this reason. Forget about, for a second, two playoffs ago, Doc played the all-bench unit. It buried the Sixers. Forget about Ben Simmons' bad play. It buried the Sixers. And then this postseason, he did some things where it's like, well, if you continue to play DeAndre Jordan, you're going to get slaughtered, right? Like, there are things like that. But the much, much bigger picture for me is a moving on from Doc Rivers and a hiring of, say, Mike D'Antoni would signal this is for James Harden. We're doing everything for James Harden. And a staying with Doc Rivers signals, wait a minute, for once we're doing something for Joel Embiid. And Jay, to me, if I'm a Sixers fan, that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Look, I was the one that said I thought once Joel got his orbital bone fractured that I didn't think he was going to be fired because you don't have Joel Embiid's health. And, yes, I did say Doc.
Oh, no, Doc wouldn't be fired. Yeah.
What did I say?
You mentioned Joel Embiid's orbital bone. I didn't know what
that was. Yeah, I said once he was fractured that he wouldn't be fired,
yeah.
Right? My whole thing is it comes down to what do you do with James Harden? Mm-hmm. Like that's the question. Like I figured Doc was going to be there, but like I'm still trying to tell you, like James Harden and Joel Embiid are not enough. You can't have Tobias Harris with that contract that he has. You have to start seeking out whether that's OKC trying to do something before the draft, relieve cap space. I don't give a damn. Even if you're looking to leverage Tyrese Maxey, I know Philadelphia fans would not want to do that, but if you can leverage Tyrese Maxey with a Tobias Harris or something like that to get a Bradley Beal.
You ain't touching Maxey if I'm the Sixers.
If you give me Bradley Beal, I'm going to let you have Tyrese Maxey.
And I know Embiid likes Beal and everything, but I'm not touching Tyrese Maxey.
What are you doing? You can't just say I'm not touching Tyrese Maxey and not tell me what you're doing.
I mean, Tobias Harris could probably flip into something useful.
You're going to get draft assets.
Okay. Maxey's development with Joel Embiid and those draft assets and whatever Harden has left, because he's still not a bad player, he's still a good player, I'm going to take my chances with that. I'm not moving on from Maxey. He's young. He's getting better and better. He's fearless. He's cheap right now. Oh, I'm not touching him.
Well, I think that they certainly got to do something with the roster. Whoever they touch, whoever they move on from, they are certainly going to sign James Harden back. He may not get the max money that he was supposed to get because some of that money could be used toward building the roster. I think, you know, Doc's a good coach. There's no question about it. Every single time his name was coming up in the firing squad, the first thing you heard was he'll get a job as soon as he's available. He'll get a job as soon as he's available. It's not very many coaches in the NBA or in the past NBA where you can say that people feel like he can get another job. This isn't – he's not one of those coaches that is a bridge coach for a young squad. People try to hire him to put him on championship-caliber winning-type teams. So they certainly are making the right move for all the Philadelphia 76er fans. They should be happy. James Harden just got there, okay? Give him a year with James Harden, see what it's like. Give him a year away from the Ben Simmons situation, see what it's like. Now you got Embiid and James together in a whole 12-month calendar. Let's see what that brings.
Hey, Jay, Key touched on something just then about Doc, and it reminds me of Chris Paul in this way, and they're both now getting famous or infamous for playoff collapses. But the reason we're even interested in them and in that is because of their excellence to get to the point where they can even collapse in the playoffs, right? Doc is the coach. Embiid is a star player. Whatever the different pieces around them turn into, because they have some assets, they have some talent, can Doc win a championship in Philadelphia with Embiid, do you believe?
Yes. With the right players, with the right personnel, yes, I believe it's possible. Something that they need to address, though, is James Harden. Remember the post-press conference after the game where he was asked about our plays specifically designed for him? In huddle, he said, next question. So that was a big moment that happened in the post game because you felt an uneasiness and awkwardness between James Harden and Doc. Hey. What the 76ers just told me was that, hey, James.
It's not about you.
It's not about you right now. It's about our core that we have intact, which leads me to wonder about how does that then translate into negotiations for James Harden. If the question is, Key, can James Harden be the second best player on a championship team, in which I would say no.
Third?
He can't. He would have to be the third.
I think he could be the second or the third best, but interesting that you bring up the post-presser a couple days ago when they got eliminated about that sort of stuff. Somebody told me, and I'm not ever going to reveal who told me this, but somebody very close to the situation, it was an eye roll when they first were talking about acquiring James Harden. It was an eye roll by Doc Rivers. So a lot tells you if you were in the meetings or in the practice facility, the interaction, you could just tell when a coach ain't really feeling somebody or if somebody ain't really feeling the coach. You can certainly tell that. I wish I was a fly on the wall.
And that cannot work, especially for this team, and I will tell you why. The point guard has to be, ideally, is an extension of the coach, right, Jay? Like, you had to be an extension of Coach K at Duke. Like, that is the way. So, Doc Rivers, who was a very good point guard and a tough-minded point guard, I don't think if he's not into Harden, and if Harden's already complaining about Doc, how does that work? Doc needs him out there on the. He needs an extension of himself, not a dude who's fighting him.
You could get him to buy in, though, after a while. I mean, it's always that way with players. After a while, guys buy in because they realize that when you buck the system and it doesn't work for you, when you're trying to buck it, then you realize in order to have success, you know this, Jay.
Might as well join him.
You might as well, yeah, because what else is going to happen?
I think it's going to take an initial conversation, though, with Daryl Morey and James Harden to get on the same page because they have the most to lose, right, to a degree. Because Daryl Morey vouched for James Harden and literally went through all that with Ben Simmons to wait. Because we were saying they should have gotten C.J. McCollum. And he was the one that said, oh, it's not enough. We're not getting enough in return. Even went on radio in Philadelphia and was like, we are going to get the value we see fit in return.
At the time, he seemed,
for Ben
he sounded right, to,
right
for that so at the time.
Daryl Morey needs to make it work with James Harden because he sacrificed so much.
Do you think that Daryl Morey and Rubin, right, like the guy, part owner of the team, and Michael Rubin and Daryl Morey, the head of basketball operations, can be honest enough with James Harden to say, James, whatever the relationship is from a basketball point of view, Embiid is the best player on this team. We got to build around him. Can they be honest enough with Harden to have that conversation with him?
I already think that's known.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't think there's any confusion around anybody in Philly about whose organization this whole thing is going to be built around.
I was going to say not only that, what you're talking about, but when you are – see, people get delusional in life a lot of times, Max. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's about them, and it's really not. Mm-hmm. And I think James Harden is at a point in time in his career where he understands by playing with Embiid that Embiid is the guy. No matter what, they going to side with Embiid. He's the guy.
So why the comments after the series about not getting the, like, you know.
Well, that's that doesn't mean that he's wrong. Doesn't mean he's against Embiid. It just means that a question was posed to him. He gave an answer that he felt. They didn't say, whose team is it? They didn't say, are you the best player on the team? They asked him about his touches. That was it. They didn't pose anything that was caused dissension with the best player on the team. That's the most important thing. Because when you're delusional and you think it's about you and it's really about somebody else, that's when you perform poorly.
Wonder if you need people in your life, like in this case, maybe his boys, right? The owner and the GM, essentially, to tell him, yo.
No, you already know, though.
Like, are you saying he's delusional or not?
No, I'm saying he's not.
Oh, okay.
He's not
got
delusional.
It. Got it.
You
got
don't
it.
Need them to tell you.
In other words,
Jay?
That's already happened. What
like,
I'm
I don't
about.
Need you, Jay. I don't need Stephen A., and I don't need Legs and all of them to tell me you getting ready to carry us on a whoop-ass against Bart and Han. I don't need them to tell me. I know. I can look at it and tell.
What
I mean,
was it? Was
truth.
It the two-time player of the year or the national title?
Yeah. Like, seriously.
TJ.
Dude's like the Naismith Award winner like 18 times.
TJ and Callie wants to talk about the sports weekend, guys. What you got, TJ?
Good morning, gentlemen. Shout out to Winhurst for calling out the Bucks, and congratulations to the Celtics. Love your morning show. That was one of the most exceptional weekends in sports history. Two overtime game sevens in hockey, K.H. Lee repeating at the Byron Nelson, and poor but unbelievable basketball. An unbelievable weekend in sports history. I wonder where you'd put it on the list.
Oh, by the way, Jermell Charlo also knocked out Brian Castaño in the junior middleweight unification fight for Undisputed in a great fight. And by the way, there was baseball action. If you're a baseball fan, there was lots to like about the weekend. Key, Jay, I don't know if I put it on a list of one of the greatest days ever.
Dodgers, man.
But it was a hell of a sports weekend. Hell of a sports weekend.
I mean, you can make the case in basketball. I was a little bit disappointed.
Because like it was
because
were,
I thought Bucks,
depends
Celtics,
on hey it depends on who you're rooting for.
No, understood. But I thought just from a game perspective,
Celtics got hot
like
from
you
outside.
Talk about the two, Stanley Cup playoff games. Like those games going to OT, like they were both intense. You saw, I mean, just the energy, it was palpable. Jumped off out of the screen, and then when you look at the NBA games, I was like, oh well, damn Phoenix, like really, you're getting smacked that way in the first quarter.
I just didn't.
That. And then the Bucks and the Celtics, I thought that game was going to come down to the wire because of what I saw in game six.
Yeah, but
that was disappointing
game.
Too.
God, the Phoenix game. I don't understand. Like, that's professional basketball. I didn't even think that was possible to be getting beat down by 40-some points in the NBA. And, I was like, damn.
And the Bucks and Celtics, Jay, again, like, I can understand if Budenholzer's like, you're not getting anything in the paint. Yeah. Then, and if you get hot from outside, you can have a lopsided score. But what bothered me was the Suns at home. It wasn't about Dallas just getting hot. It was about the Suns not showing up in a game seven at home and getting blown out. That was like, whoa, what just happened?
Well, that's the thing. So you knew what you were getting from Giannis, even though he missed chippies. You're like, dude, you've had 46 points. Like, you've been incredible single-handedly carrying this team, keeping them in the game. But since CP3 has turned 37, man, his numbers have been really bad.
Yeah. Right? Oh, God, stop.
No, I'm not saying it's a real thing. The next words out of my mouth were going to be, a lot of people will use that like a joke. Well, he turned 37. He's on the wrong side of 37.
When you brought it up, though, 14 for 14 when they needed it most in the previous round, and he turns 37, and all of a sudden he can't buy a shot.
I mean, look,
he's just having a 31st birthday party.
Well, stop labeling me in that
over.
Bucket. I was actually about to explain. Like, I think sometimes it's just, man, age for him, it seems like it hurts him later in these long playoff grind scenarios, Key.
You know who he is?
Like, so he was 36. He was averaging what?
I'm not saying.
He's really tickled by it.
I know. I am because
I love when people try to pull it to the right a little bit. Like, oh, but when he was 36 and 24 hours from 37, he gave you 29 points.
But Jay's basically, it seems to me, Jay, a smaller guy who's up there in age and heavily leaned on all year. You know who CP3 reminds me of? Take the championship away from Drew Brees. Take that one championship away, and it's like a smaller guy who's great. Oh, my God, he's so great. But he is smaller. As he gets older, long season wears him down, and when you need him to be at his best, he can't be late in the season.
Now, look, Jay, you know this, man. That dude's old, man. He's old.
Yeah,
it ain't got nothing to do with him being 37. He's just old. And it's sometime when you old – he is the second guy on the team. Booker's supposed to be the first guy. Book gave you 11 points.
Yep.
Okay.
No doubt.
So I ain't trying to take up a CP3 or nothing like that, but come on, man. Did we really think that CP3 was going to have a 40-point
night?
Ever
since the full moon, CP3 has not had a big game.
I say you needed Devin Booker to be the best player on the floor, but Key, like, that didn't look good last night.
No. It didn't.
It did not look good, man.
He just didn't look like himself from about 6 months ago.
Know how we're asking all day who's the best player left in the playoffs? You know why one of the answers is not, one of the possibilities is not Devin Booker? Because he wasn't one of the best players, and therefore his team is not in the playoffs. But who is the best player left in the playoffs? And how did the best player in the league get sent home?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Boston then stuck out their arm, led by double digits at the break. Never looked back.
Tatum, wing left three.
Another one! Tatum's 5 from 5 for downtown.
It was a team effort. I mean, everybody chipped in.
Pritchard, step back three, right angle. Good, good, good! Peyton Pritchard!
Just looking forward to it, you know, excited. Being back in this position and, you know, trying to get over this hump.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Who is the best player left in these playoffs? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know, Chris Paul or Devin Booker left anymore, because if they were better, they'd be there, right? But Giannis did everything he could, but he's not there anymore. You know who is there? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Luka is still there. And Jimmy Butler is still there. who's the best player left. A lot of people just saying Luka because offensively he's unstoppable. He's amazing. And his team won in spite of being, it seemed, the inferior team. And they won on the road. But Luka's a defensive liability. You know who's not that? Jason Tatum, whose offense is also unstoppable. Here, key and J, is Jason Tatum on coming back from down 3-2.
I believe in myself. I believe in this team. You know, I expected to play the way I did. I expected for us to respond the way we did. So as much as game five hurt, I was excited for that challenge.
Jay, you have said at the beginning of these playoffs that Tatum was going to earn a seat at the table of NBA superstars. Mm-hmm. Has he done that already, or does he need to get the Celtics to the finals to get a seat at that table?
I think you got to get to the NBA finals. NBA finals, and I mean, look, winning it gets you over the hump, but I think getting to the NBA finals definitely puts you in that category and it starts the conversation. Something that's interesting to me, the key, watching game seven yesterday and seeing JT go off, which I've seen him go off since he's been 16 years old before he committed to Duke even. But it makes me think about that draft. And it really makes me focus on the fact that, wow, Boston traded down from the number one pick. Boston had the number one pick in the 2018 draft. Traded down to the third pick, swapping it with the team that's out of the playoffs right now and the other team that didn't even make the playoffs between the 76ers, and that's when the 76ers took Markelle Fultz, and then the Los Angeles Lakers took Lonzo Ball with the second pick. And after Boston trading down,
who was the GM of Philadelphia at the time?
Brian Colangelo.
In other words, they stopped the process, and installed the league's GM, basically, and LA, ruined everything
Johnson,
for Philly.
Magic yep. Johnson in L.A. and traded down, Key, to get the third pick, thanks to the Brooklyn Nets, who made a trade with him earlier that year in order to get Jason Tatum, who is now having a seat at the table for being one of the best players in basketball. Mm-hmm. Crazy how we've gotten here, right?
But you know how it is, though, with the draft, man. All those guys were going to be great in their own way eventually, but Tatum has and Luka has certainly, you know, Markelle Fultz, I don't know what that is in Orlando, but certainly these two guys have kind of, I don't know, taken things and taking it to the next level. Well, Ball had kind of like a resurgence, so to speak, in New Orleans and then in Chicago.
I hear you, though, Key, but think about how ballsy that is. If you're able to find a talent that you believed in, and everything I've heard about Boston and the way they looked at it from Danny Ainge is that Jason Tatum was his guy from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Think about that gamble. Okay. Our guy will still be on the board by the third pick in the draft. So we've targeted him. Like, we've seen it. But these other franchises don't see it. So we're going to trade down, get assets on top of that, and still get our guy.
All I can see it from the Sixers' point of view, the Colangelo thing.
But process. You got to think, though.
Process was working, Key. Imagine if Jason Tatum was on the team with Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid. Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but you got to think, though, how this draft go. Jay, you was number two overall, right? And the whole time, Chicago, you the guy. Everybody knew Chicago taking you. Everybody knew Houston was taking the big. And Chicago was taking a playmaking scoring machine out of Duke. So it's like when these personnel people make these decisions, everybody and their mom knew, because Magic said it, that Lonzo Ball was going to be the next Magic Johnson in L.A. Yeah, everybody already knew it.
But you know,
so it was easy to kind of manipulate the situation, but also recognize that Tatum was going to be such a great talent for them for years to come that they went ahead and made the moves that they needed to make to get him.
But here's the interesting stuff about all this, though, right? Like, when people say that stuff, Key, I'm like, yes. But also, how does that player fit into the scheme of how you play? And that's a very important thing, right? Like, with LeBron being there and Lonzo, I'm like, I don't know if Lonzo fits into the scheme. Not LeBron wasn't there at the time, but like, I don't know how Lonzo fits into the scheme of how they want to play in L.A.
Well, he was supposed
Magic,
to be like
remember,
LaMelo.
But Magic saw Lonzo as Magic.
Yeah, as LaMelo, basically, right? He was supposed to be – like, Lonzo's a very good player, but
– Yeah, but he – Magic – what Magic did is Magic saw – him in him.
Yeah, no doubt. What I'm saying is LaMelo is closer to that, right, than Lonzo is. If Lonzo had turned out to be LaMelo, there wouldn't be any issue at all. But he just turned out to be a very good player,
you know what,
but not a transcendent one.
I don't know if it would have been any issue if he'd have stayed in L.A. I don't know if it would have been any issue, but once he got moved, it became
it takes
something
a little
different.
Glitter off.
But, so that's what I'm saying. Markelle Fultz, moved, right? You had a whole issue in Philly, which Philly fans remember that. Lonzo Ball moved.
Tatum's
traded down.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals again. We're talking about him having
Tatum
a
Tatum also
table.
Had the – what's interesting about Tatum to me is this. He had the highest floor to me, right? He was already polished to score everything. The question was there a little too much Carmelo ISO kind of not enough quite KD type stuff in his game? But there wasn't. Like he went through that a couple years ago. No, that's what I'm saying. He has evolved from not only having a very high floor, but now there's no ceiling. Mm-hmm. He can get his own shot whenever he wants it. He can run the floor. He can play defense. He can do everything. He could do it all. And he just got past KD and Giannis.
Man, what the hell is he?
Wait, what's so funny, Key?
I'm looking at our text chain, man. I just... People will do anything on the internet.
What makes Luka so hard to defend? We ask someone who's guarded him when it's mattered. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Key, what is this picture I'm seeing on our text chain?
I don't know, man. We're gonna use that at some point, maybe in another extra additional content situation.
That's what we're in now. That's what we're in now.
Oh, you know what? It's so weird when we slide in additional content.
It seems like we're just talking.
It
right?
seemed like because we were talking and I heard whatever. I didn't hear Yates say go, but yeah. This is someone...
I'm glad you didn't say nothing.
Well, no, because we were supposed to do something else. But anyway...
No, but we gotta talk this. Come on.
It's a guy in a jersey, my New York Jets jersey, on our Twitter account. And someone says, looks like Keyshawn is hanging out in Jersey. Is this New Jersey? Or what is
Jersey?
This?
Yeah, Jersey would probably be Jersey. Yeah, for sure. But
we're going to post this on the account so people can see it.
This dude about 75 years old, man. This don't look nothing like you.
Yeah, I know, but it's funny that somebody would have got an uncle in Jersey on. Oh. My jersey on, like, from 1996.
And a cowboy hat.
But that just lets you know, Jay.
Yeah.
I see it all the time, man. Cats be rocking my jerseys and be like
take my
30
jersey
years
off.
Ago. I'm like,
take
dude.
My jersey off.
No, it's all
no,
good.
No, I'm asking them to take their jersey off for
no,
you.
Listen, no.
We had Keyshawn Davis we had Keyshawn Davis on the show, one of the best young fighters in the game, could wind up being a pound-for-pound type dude. I mean, listen, I never heard of Keyshawn before Keyshawn Johnson. Sounds like he's named after you, Key.
Not which one? Not Keyshawn Davis is. I don't know who this dude is.
I'm talking about Keyshawn Davis.
Yeah, he was named
I'm
after
about
him.
This dude, dude on the damn screen.
This guy
I'm
is an
about.
Imposter. I don't know what this.
Key, get
is.
Your uncle, man.
I know. It's like, he looked like an uncle. Now I'm trying to
at the
zoom
barbecue.
In.
Let me tell you about that kid. Give him a cigarette.
I'm trying to zoom in, Jay, to see if he's a brother though.
Yeah, get out of the way, young boy, while I cook these ribs. That's who
I
he
really
is.
Can't tell. He kind of got a Yates look to him. You know,
that's a Yates supposed look. To be, yo.
Yeah, Yates got that.
Yeah, wait, hold
look.
On. What does that mean?
Got
well,
the
he's
cowboy
got the
hat
Yates
on.
Look, man. The cowboy hat, the big jeans. Mm-hmm. You know, Yates be wearing
the
big
wing
jeans.
Tips, kid. He got the wing tips on.
Yeah, Yates, you still got the baggies on?
Nah, I never. That was never my style.
Yates, you got the Jabos.
Yates, the baggies back in.
I had Jabos back. You got to go to our. You got to go to our Twitter account to check it out.
The 7X ones.
7X Jabos. They're too small.
Yeah, send them to our Twitter account to see it, man. They can make comments on it and clown me if they like. You know, I don't know the dude.
Well, I don't understand why you got your jersey on. You retired years and years ago. That's pretty good.
So I got to tell him to get his uncle, man. Get your uncle, man.
Yeah, see, you see what I'm saying? Jay talking about
off the corner.
He from Jersey. Ain't you
what's
from
he
Jersey,
even, what's
Jay?
He even doing at that corner? It's not like he's about across the street. He's too far back. What's he doing?
Go ahead and smoke that pack of Marlboro, man. So I see.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Boston then stuck out their arm, led by double digits at the break. Never looked back.
Tatum, wing left three. Another one.
Tatum's 5 from 5 for downtown.
It was a team effort. I mean, everybody chipped in.
Pritchard, step back three, right angle. Good, good, good. Peyton Pritchard.
Just looking forward to it, you know, excited. Being back in this position and, you know, trying to get over this hump.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Joined now by 3-time All-NBA defensive team. Patrick Beverly should be 5. Starts
pull
right
in. Pull that mic closer so I can hear you, man. He said should be 5. I'll let right out of the gate.
Five,
he bad.
Sure.
Should be 5.
Should be 5.
No, man. Hey, man, hold on. Let me get this floor real quick. Let me have the floor, man. Let me have the floor real quick.
Oh, yeah, Key, the floor is yours, man.
Man, I don't like him. You know that, Jay.
You don't like P-Bab?
No. No, man. He's an ex-Clipper bothering my Lakers like a little just gnat just – getting on my nerves watching the TV and everything. I should be like, man, get this dude. Man, dude, put tape around his mouth. But I would like to play with him.
Yeah, right. Just the type of dude you want on your team.
Just the type of guy I would want on my
team. But hate him when he's on the other team.
Wouldn't want to play against him.
Oh,
God, just to get on my damn nerves.
All right.
But that's part of it, right, baby?
All part of it. You know that.
Patrick Beverly is giving you the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Get on my mom's nerves. She never kicked me out the house.
I need to ask you a real question off the gate because everybody's jumping on Golden State. And I hear it. Have you ever seen a world champion get smacked by 50-plus points a game in the playoffs one time?
At home? We're talking about Suns?
No, I'm talking about Golden State.
Golden State.
Memphis. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably not. But you can't discredit them, though. They've done it. They've done it without KD. They've done it with KD. You know. They have the core who's proven winners, so you can't discredit them.
Why are you saying that with a face?
Because I mean, I'm the guy, the heart of a champion type of guy.
That's why I need you to tell me the heart of a champion. Do they have it?
They have it.
Okay.
They have it. Maybe they don't have it now. Guys haven't been healthy the whole year. Obviously, Draymond's coming back. I mean, when he came back, he's probably not at full force, or we're not seeing the best. You know. If Golden State was a magical potion, we don't have the best magical potion of Golden State, but they're pretty close.
See, I thought Phoenix had the magical potion.
No, I knew that from the beginning.
Why? How?
Bad matchup. Dallas was an awful matchup against them. Awful.
Why?
Because they have no one that can guard. No one.
So as much as people give love for Mikal Bridges?
Stop. Come on, man.
I hear you.
I mean, he guarded me in the playoffs last year. I felt very confident in my matchup.
Pat Beverly with us,
it ain't even about guarding nobody, right?
It is.
I'm saying in this situation,
don't do basketball like that. It's all about guard. The game. Let me tell you about the game, real. Can I get the floor for 5 minutes? Okay, the game of basketball, right? It was created by one guy, right? For him to put the ball in the hoop, Henry Naismith. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was one guy, right? The game changed when you added another guy. Because you wanted to stop that one guy from scoring. You can't play one-on-one your whole career. So what does that tell you? The game was brought up defense. The game of basketball that started from defense, not from one guy. Because if it was one guy, it'd just be a one-on-one type of league, and it's not. The game has started from defense. So the game would end with defense. That's just how basketball goes.
But we're talking about
what happened on the offensive end, though, with CP3 and Devin Booker? That ain't defense. That was them.
You can't say that because if I'm guarding Chris Paul and I'm guarding Devin Booker and they go 0-for-11 or whatever, in my mind, I'm going home saying I locked their ass up. I don't know if I can say that.
Well, you just did it. No, you good. You good.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, hey, man, I did an okay job. They missed shots. I'm going home saying I locked them up. I mean, that's what anyone's saying. That's just like someone who plays football. You're guarding a wideout and he drops – three passes. But due to you, you're not going to say, oh, man, I got lucky today. You're going to say, man, I locked that up.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So lies, lies, lies.
Oh, no, True.
So, but I'm looking at the Suns, and it's what you could say, okay, it's defense, whatever. But in a game seven at home, when on paper you have – maybe they have the best player, but you got the second, third, fourth, and fifth best player, right?
That's not
true. Oh, it's not true.
You think the Suns roster is better than Dallas roster?
I think it's more top-heavy than Dallas's roster.
How? Let me ask you that.
I mean, Devin Booker is all NBA.
One.
Right? Chris Paul was great this year until very recently, right? And that, like, you know, but for a lot of this, a lot of the year, including in pivotal games in the playoffs, 14 for 14, he came up big.
Against a playing team.
Mention Bridges, Cam Johnson. They got a lot of guys.
Come on now.
But they're 3-and-D guys, but they do their jobs well, no?
Come on. That's
okay,
not,
tell me
come,
why.
Let's not come up here and just say anything. These are guys that we're at the park and it's time to pick your pick. You're not picking these guys.
Over who?
Over Jalen Brunson or Spencer Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not taking Mikal Bridges over Spencer Dinwiddie. No offense, no discredit to his game. I love his game. Only reason he's in a defensive competition is because they won so many games.
Is that letting CP3 and Devin Booker off the hook for a Game 7 slaughter at home?
No, not at all. You need your others to step up. And the others stepped up for Dallas. Spencer Dinwiddie stepped up for Dallas. You need the others to step up.
So, people, have you been a dog your whole life, right? Like, we both had the same agent. Like, I remember the time from the beginning, Arkansas days, scrapping, clawing overseas, whatever it took. When you think about CP3's legacy, what is it?
Person who's played in the NBA a long time and was able to get the keys to the car at a very young age, and due to that, is able to have the numbers he's able to have.
Just because he was given the keys to the car.
At an early age.
Can you go into that a little bit more?
Give me the keys when I'm, I don't know, 18, 19. I don't know when he got drafted, 19, 20. 20 years up to, what, 37 at 17 years? You better have some numbers.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it was given to him?
I didn't say it was given. It's completely earned. But when you get the keys to the Lamborghini at a young age, I mean, you go put some miles on it.
Huh.
You go put some miles on it.
It's like a compounding advantage.
You go break some records. You know, you should.
But does it make you a better player as well to have all that experience in that role?
I guess, no, the real question, Max, does it let your career, are you a top five point guard to ever play this game? That's where people were going with CP3. Would you deem him as a top five point guard or top 10?
To do what?
To ever play the game of basketball.
To ever play the game.
I'm asking you. I'm saying that's where people are going.
Everyone's got him in the top 10. Most people don't at the top 5 in the moment. But would you look like amazed that he would even be in the top 10?
No, I mean, top 10, that's pushing it. Mm. Top 5, no. Mm. And there's no discredit to CP. He's going to be Hall of Fame, of course. But, I mean, we talking about some studs, man.
Are we talking about point guard or player?
I'm talking about point guard. Point guard.
So y'all don't really see him as a top 10 point guard?
Man, you get Jay Williams, the amount of years you get Chris Paul, man. You give him the amount of years.
But
he's
been
Chris
cooking.
Paul in
the NBA. P-Bev, you play in the NBA, I didn't.
Man, y'all stop playing.
No, I'm not playing. I'm dead serious. One-on-one, imano-imano. I think just like you think. If you gave me one quarterback my entire career, my numbers is going to be crazy. I get it. I played with 17 different QBs, so I get it. But he's been doing it consistently since he got the keys.
Yeah, that's why I said no discredit to him. But if you give anyone the keys for that long, you should have those numbers.
But can anyone –
But
just
don't
anyone
you factor in longevity, like though?
I mean, no, of course not. You have to do all the small things. Like, you know, he became – president of the national, you know, the NBPA. All that little stuff helps, and he knows what he's doing. He's a very intelligent man. So you can't leave it there. But, you know, when he's doing all these small things, keeping himself relevant, State Farm commercials and all that, of course, when he goes to the lane and pump fakes, you might not call that foul on this guy, but you'll call it for Chris Paul. It's just different. It's just a different game.
Say less, man. You know, I feel you right now. I hear you loud and clear. 100% say less. Right. I got you.
Feel me? That's all I'm saying.
No, I got you. We had this sort of conversation, Max. If you remember, 3 segments ago in our offline, we had this sort of conversation. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's Patrick.
Now you give D Rose the same amount of keys and opportunity without the injuries does D Rose. Top
yeah, without the injuries is a big thing right there.
That's all I'm saying.
Much okay. More on CP3's legacy next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Patrick Beverly not holding back. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.